Welcome back to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. One of the dangers of visiting fragile and pristine areas is contributing to the deterioration of these natural places. And that was something that Kelly Bricker noticed when she and her husband traveled extensively for a company in the late 80s and early 90s. They would see areas once pristine and natural deteriorate in a relatively short period of time. She then decided to focus her PhD research on ecotourism and sustainable approaches to tourism development. Dr. Bricker is currently interim chair and associate professor at the University of Utah in the Department of Parks, Recreation, and Tourism. She also serves as chair of the Global Sustainable Tourism Council and chair of the International Ecotourism Society. She's in Spearfish at Black Hills State University, where she's giving a talk this afternoon on sustainable tourism, a system for positive change. Dr. Bricker, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Thank you.
The concept of ecotourism and sustainable tourism, is this something that's been around a while?
Yeah, it's been around a long time. Sustainability has always been thought of in various other aspects of everyday life. But sustainable tourism has really become a focus simply due to the number of people that are traveling these days. I think we've reached just over a billion travelers a year, and there's no sign of that slowing down, even when economic downturns occur. So I think it's becoming a much more prominent topic, and I think it's a prominent topic as well because tourism in general generates incredible economic benefits for destinations.
No, sustainable tourism, ecotourism, is this a philosophy or is it a practice or maybe a little bit of both?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, when we talk about sustainable tourism, we're really talking about blending key aspects of development for a product that causes really no harm to communities but causes benefits to communities and the environment. So we're looking at sort of the planning and management aspect, often the institutional players that are a part of that. We're looking at social and cultural aspects and, of course, looking at environmental aspects of how that tourism is actually developed. And ecotourism, by its definition, which the International Ecotourism Society, which has been the largest and the first, really the oldest ecotourism association in the world, which started in 1990, defined ecotourism as responsible travel to natural areas that conserves the environment and improves the well-being of local people. And that really deals with conservation communities and interpreting these environments to places. So the impetus of the traveler to go to these places is because of nature. And then all the other stuff should fall under the sustainability umbrella, which really also looks at principles, and now we've got really clear criteria that help define what that should look like and what each of those principles under sort of the four pillars of sustainability should apply.
So when we're talking about ecotourism, I think the first thing that probably pops into the mind is you want to make sure that you're not harming anything, you're not harming nature, you're not causing any problems, you're not, you know, even as basic as just pulling down and picking a flower or something like that. But the concept is so much broader than that. It sounds like you also keep in mind the local indigenous people and how tourism affects them too.
Yeah, I think a key aspect or what we've learned over time is without local stakeholders involved in the process and really creating positive benefits for those local stakeholders, that there is no long-term prospect for the product development itself. So communities, those people living there, those people hosting tourism should have a stake in how tourism is developed. They also should benefit directly and receive direct financial benefits. And I think it's an empowering aspect of what we do, but it's also raising awareness and raising sort of reasons to protect the environment, true economic reasons to help protect the very natural capital that visitors are coming to see.
Now, Dr. Brooker, you and your husband have an ecotourism company in Fiji, Rivers Fiji. How does that work then with the, how do you operate under those guidelines of sustainable tourism or ecotourism?
Well, I guess the first thing is we try to minimize our impact. And so when we first went over to Fiji, we realized if we open a tourism product in the rural highlands on these river canyons, we're opening a wedge. Right, and that once you open that wedge, there's sort of no turning back. You know, greater interest evolves over time for that particular area. So, before we even started really marketing and running one of the river systems there, we created a lease for conservation, so that we lease the we lease a river corridor, 200 meters on either side, for about 20 kilometers. And there is no opportunity for extractive development, commercial development, in that 200 meters on either side. We also had to have a management plan, which is created with biologists and conservation groups and Department of Environment, that really talks about how trips will be run in that canyon. And so it's a leave no trace concept. But also, every tourist that goes down that river actually gives part of their fee goes into the local communities that live in and amongst that river canyon. So every time a person floats down that river, they are benefiting financially the local communities in that area. And the other part is we're trying to really establish benefits for conservation. And since starting the lease for conservation on this river corridor, the Upper Navoa River, the global community has recognized this corridor as a wetland of international importance. So that's brought more biologists, more people that are interested in ecotourism or eco-ecological management have come into the area and really have identified new species of fish, species that typically have been almost wiped out on the rest of the island. So this is like a little haven for conservation and a place where these things are being protected. So that's a big part of it. And then also is just raising awareness. So we do a lot of community outreach with local school kids to ensure that they understand the value of protecting these special places as well. And we work with Nature Fiji, which is the local conservation organization, to do so. And then another aspect of all of this is hiring locally and making sure that the jobs that people have to run this business, obviously we live in the United States now, it's locally run, and it's guides from the communities that actually live there. So it's helping to diversify their income streams. And then lastly, for the tourists, the guides, this is their backyard. They have their PhDs in that environment up there, and they're able to interpret the importance of that environment to tourists that come in, so providing a quality experience for tourists on the river.
Do you find that the tourists that are aware of ecotourism, and that's what's happening with your company, Rivers Fiji, that they understand how this works and they have that same respect for the concept?
Yeah, I believe they do. And if they didn't coming into it, the guides tell those stories and they talk about the importance of the Upper Navoa Conservation Area. And so they learn about that. If they don't come in with that mindset, and they definitely are educated by our guides during the 8-hour day that they're on the river together.
Is there any regulation or accreditation that's involved with ecotourism companies?
Certainly there is certification now. And certification is a tool, one of many tools, but it is a tool to help ensure that certain guidelines are being met in ecotourism and sustainable tourism. And in the world today, we have probably over 150 different types of certification programs that are out there. And what we're trying to do at the Global Sustainable Tourism Council is really accredit those certification programs, because like everything, You have some that are very effective, and then others that aren't so effective, that are certainly just marketing ploys. So it's sort of the mission of the GSTC is to ensure that these certification programs are meeting minimum standards and a minimum baseline criteria that really defines sustainability.
Kelly Bricker is currently interim chair and associate professor at the University of Utah, the Department of Parks, Recreation, and Tourism. She also serves as chair of the Global Sustainable Tourism Council and chair of the International Ecotourism Society. She's giving a talk on sustainable tourism this afternoon at 2 o'clock at Black Hills State University in Spearfish. That takes place in the Meyer Recital Hall. It's part of the Black Hills State Research Symposium. And Dr. Bricker, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us on Dakota Midday.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
And that's it for this edition of Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. Thanks to all of our guests on today's show. Stephen Zwemke is the producer. We had assistance from Chris Loffrey. Special thanks to Keely Bultina, as well as Stephen Munson. Coming up tomorrow, it's Tech Radio with the Computer Guys. I'm Carl Gerke. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned. Here and Now is coming up next.